The Old Testament reading for this, the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the prophet Amos, the 5th chapter.
Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord! Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps, I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica, the 4th chapter. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" And this is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As a kid, I can remember many occasions when the phone would ring and Mom would have a very pleasant conversation with someone that would usually end with something like, "Oh, that sounds great. We'll see you in a little bit." She would then hang up the phone and turn to look at her family and shout, "Kids, clean up this mess right now! Someone's coming over!" And as we were frantically scrambling to get our Hot Wheels and our Legos and our socks and our jackets and stuffed animals and books and paper airplanes and everything else out of the living room, Mom would ever so politely remind us that if we just kept the living room ready for company, we wouldn't have to spend so much time getting the living room ready for company. Which brings us to these last Sundays of the church year. These weeks between All Saints' Day and Advent, they have a clear theme to them: preparation for the last day, the glorious return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On that day, all mankind will stand before the judgment throne of God and hear their eternal fate, heaven or hell. There is no in between. There will be no appeals. God speaks his holy, almighty, unquestionable judgment
and it is carried out. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready to stand before the Creator of the universe? Are you ready to literally face your Maker? Because no matter what you think, or hope, or feel, or believe, you will stand in His holy presence, and you will be judged by His holy law. The question, though, is when? When will Jesus come again? When will the end be here? When will I stand before God? And the answer is a resounding, I don't know. Jesus Christ will return. That is a guarantee. But when He will return, nobody knows. It will happen when nobody is predicting it, when nobody is expecting it. Like a thief in the night, Jesus will return with a trumpet blast, and He will bring an end to all sin and all His enemies. So Jesus tells us to be prepared. Be ready for His triumphant return whenever that might happen. To which we, with good reason, respond, how am I supposed to be ready? How am I supposed to be ready for something when I don't know when it's going to happen? How am I to be ready for Judgment Day when we have no clue when it might be? Well, Jesus tells us a parable in our gospel reading today that gives us a picture of the end. A wedding is taking place, and as is the custom at that time, the bride's friends have lined the streets with their lamps to light the groom's way, to welcome him to the week-long feast where his bride awaits. As was not the custom, however, this groom is delayed. Not like, oh, the limo got stuck in traffic and we'll be 15 minutes late. He's not there at all when they're expecting him. And hours pass by and still no sign of the bridegroom. There's no cell phones, of course, no way to give the maidens any kind of an ETA. And as their wait goes on later and later and later into the night, the maidens start to nod off. But suddenly, in the middle of the night, a cry awakens them all. The groom is coming. Welcome him. Get to your positions. Five are prepared to do so. But the ones who were not, they find themselves locked out of the wedding feast, that celebration of joy that they had been looking forward to for so long. Now, if you're like me, when you heard that parable, you thought, it kind of seems a little harsh and unfair to lock those virgins out of the feast just because they weren't ready. I mean, how could the bridegroom expect the maidens to be ready and raring to go when he shows up at midnight? It was the groom who was delayed, not them. If he had just been on time, if he had kept his word, they would have been fine. And then to tell them not only, you know, you don't get to come in here, but I don't even know who you are, that seems so harsh. And if this were just Jesus telling about what happened to a buddy of his, we'd be right. That is harsh and extreme. But this is not just about proper etiquette when welcoming a groom. This is a parable told to us by our Savior, and it has a far deeper meaning. The groom, of course, is Jesus Christ Himself, and the wedding feast is heaven. The maidens, that's us. The believers that Jesus has invited to His eternal feast, who are waiting to welcome Him, even while He is delayed. And the oil of our lamps, that is our faith. The fact is, we don't know when Jesus Christ will return. We know that He will. We trust His word, but we don't know when that's going to be. And so the point of this parable is we need to be prepared at all times. If we wait until Jesus actually arrives to get prepared, if we wait until that trumpet sounds, it's too late. Jesus is not going to give us a call beforehand saying, hey guys, I'm in Waterloo now, so you've got about 2 hours to get your lives all straightened out. See you then. It's not going to happen. Well, actually, that's not entirely true.
I mean, Jesus has been giving us calls ever since he ascended into heaven. Reminders that he is arriving. Natural disasters, terrorist attacks, accidents we see on the highway, sudden sicknesses, narrow escapes from death and disaster, freak accidents, global pandemics. Every one of these things is a reminder that God can return at any moment, that your life can come to a sudden end at any time, and you will stand before his throne of judgment. By his word, he continually warns us that when this life comes to an end, whenever that may be, you will stand before him, and you will be judged according to his holy and unquestionable law. And so the warning stands. We need to be prepared at all times. We need the oil of our faith to never run out, to never dry up. We need to be ready to welcome the bridegroom whenever that may be, and ready to enter into that heavenly feast with him forever. Live in the certainty of your baptism, knowing that he has washed you clean of all of your sin, knowing that in your baptism you are united with Christ in his death and his resurrection. Read and hear God's word frequently, earnestly, letting it shape you instead of trying to change it and make it fit what you want to believe. Receive the body and blood of Christ at every opportunity, that precious gift that brings you the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Live by God's word at all times, not just when you think he might be on his way, not just when you think the pastor might be watching. Be in his word and live it out boldly. Don't be lulled to sleep by the lies and the distractions of the world around you that say Christianity is a waste of your time, that it's old and outdated and bigoted and it needs to get updated in order to be relevant. Live boldly as a Bible-believing Christian so that others can hear God's word through you and they can be prepared as well. In all these ways, our strength, our faith is strengthened and sustained. Our oil is filled to the brim, never to run out, so that we will be prepared for Christ's return whenever that might be. And our readiness, our faith, the oil that fills our flasks, it comes only from the gift that God himself has given us, Christian faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have been given God's gift of the gospel. Trust in it and it alone. Do not put your trust in anything else. To be ready, the maidens needed oil for their lamps. Bringing an extra cantaloupe along with them would not have done them any good whatsoever. And neither does having faith in anything other than Jesus Christ, the truth revealed through Scripture. Putting your faith in some twisted version of Christianity, in some false god, in science, in politics, in anything other than Jesus Christ will benefit you nothing in the end. Trust in God, the one true and triune God, and him alone. Recognize that everything in this world, no matter how great of a blessing it is temporary, and in the end, it will go away. Only the word of the Lord stands forever. And that word gives you everything. It tells you that you are a sinner who deserves only the fires of hell, but you are a forgiven sinner who is instead made a child of God. It tells you that God looked upon you while you were dead in your transgressions, and instead of wrath and judgment, poured out upon you mercy and compassion and grace. It tells you that God loved you so much that he gave up absolutely everything for you. He humbled himself to be born into our flesh. He allowed himself to face all the same pains and sorrows, temptations, frustrations, and rejections that you yourself do. He took the entirety of your sin and he bore it on his own perfect, spotless, holy back. He suffered the consequences of all of your sin, paid all of your penalty in full, gave himself over to torture and humiliation and agonizing death as an atoning sacrifice in your place, to pay the guilt price that you never could, to wash you clean by his blood poured out upon the cross. He died to set you free from death, to cleanse you of all of your sin, to snatch you out of the fiery hands of the devil. And he rose again to open the gates of heaven for all those who believe, to give you not just hope, but the guarantee of everlasting life in paradise with him. He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, forgiving us, ruling all things with his omnipotent, unquestionable power. And he will come back again to take us to be with him, that where he is, we may be also forever. When will he come? We can't say, nor do we have to. Nobody knows when the last day will be. So how can we possibly be ready? By grace, through our Christian faith, we are ready for that day. Not frantically scrambling when we hear him at the door and hoping to get ready in time, because at that point, it's too late. But by being ready at all times, by having oil in our flasks, having them filled with the faith and forgiveness that he so graciously provides us each and every day through his means of grace, his word, and his sacraments. If we stay ready, we don't have to get ready. Stay in God's word. Abide in the safe harbor of his church. Do not turn away from his word and his sacraments. This is how we can be prepared for Christ's return. And this is why we look forward, not with dread and terror to Christ's return, but with joyful expectation. Because we have been given faith to believe in that glorious gospel message of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That by his cross alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.